Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone, a special coming to you from Los Angeles. For the second time in a year, JJ Duke and myself are recording this in person. We are sat in our hotel room the day after the 2017 NWSL College Draft, and this is an opportunity for us to maybe pick out some of those players that we feel might have a good year in the NWSL, and also for you guys to hear from some of those players. There were a lot of players in Los Angeles representing their respective colleges. The whole of the first round draft class that was selected were present in Los Angeles, so we managed to get some interviews with a few of them. But JJ, how are you, mate? You keeping well?
Yeah, we are in L.A. We're about as live as we can get. Figuratively, there is a big restaurant section called L.A. Live. So, yeah, this is all good. And it's a bit 365 days. Like, I think it's about 365 days since the last time we did one of these live shows. But, yeah, no, it's good to be sitting across an actual person as opposed to doing it over the computer.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. Well, look, we'll jump straight in, shall we? Obviously, we had the draft in the last 24 hours. I mean, give a little bit of an overview for people who didn't get a chance to see it. What was it like? It was very, very busy, as we've already mentioned. Lots of players present. I think it's the first time, not just in the NWSL, but I think in previous drafts from the WPS and WUSA as well, that we had the whole of the first round draft class available and present in the convention center.
Yeah, the reason why that is the case is for this year specifically, the US U23 national team is currently having a camp in Los Angeles right now. So, strong move by US soccer to go out and say, well, we're going to take the liberty of busing anybody and everybody who's in that camp who's eligible to be drafted. We'll bring you guys down there. We'll get you guys back to the camp afterwards. Good move by them. A couple full-team national players popped in as well during the day. Morgan Bryan was there. Emily Sonnet, Alyssa Nayer were all in attendance. Lori Kolupny from a couple of years ago was also there as well. So it's great to see the support. It was a very packed room throughout the entire day. And I think that this is the first real first-class event that they've ran. Not so much fault on the NWSL because East Coast, you can't get all these players to come out, but with it being in LA, I think they've done a phenomenal job this year.
Completely agree. Lots of public in attendance in the public gallery as well. Definitely more media this year than there was last year, which is a credit because it was in the East Coast last year and a lot of those guys have travelled a long way. Not as long as I have, but, you know, it's still a very long way for you guys coming over from New York and Connecticut and all those places over on the East Coast. But let's jump into the draft. Obviously, all eyes were on the Boston Breakers this year. They had four first-round picks. No real surprises with who they went at number one. They selected Rose Lavelle, who has recently been called up into the U.S. Women's National Team camp, has played through the youth system in the U.S. Women's National Team as well. Picked Morgan Andrews at number three as well. We've got audio with Rose. JJ spoke to Rose Lavelle. I spoke to Morgan Andrews. So we'll hear from them back to back in a minute. But talk about those two. Let's start with Rose Lavelle because all eyes were always on the number one pick. No one was really that surprised. But Rose Lavelle, give us your assessment of that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's a creative player. It's one of those players. I'm not going to compare to Tobin Heath in the sense of different types of skill sets. They're both very creative, but they both share the same mentality that they're not afraid to do anything on the pitch in the sense of that they'll take on a defender. They'll try and showcase a bit of skill. They're both pacey. Rose Lavelle brings a different sort of mentality to the field. She's a bit of a interesting character. She's fun. She's one of those kids that you want to be around because a little bit goofy at times, but when she's on the pitch, it's all business. And I think that's why a lot of people were anticipating her going number one. Now, she didn't go to a powerhouse school. She went to Wisconsin. Now, they won the Big Ten a couple of years ago, but it's not the North Carolinas, it's not the USC's, the UCLA's, the Penn State's, the Florida State's. So she went to a place where quietly she was able to continue developing her skill set, and now, you know, she's going to be, I think within the next 3 months, she's going to be capped by the U.S. Women's National Team, or at least having more appearances and more consistent appearances. Showed well youth international tournaments, so I think that's, you know, as you said, it was not a surprise, but it's still a very strong pick.
And Morgan Andrews, number three, obviously won the College Cup with USC, comes into the Boston Breakers with a very heavy winning mentality. Came across incredibly well, I thought. Went up on stage, spoke very clearly, very eloquently with the media. I think probably came across the clearest and definitely the most professional in terms of the players. I'm not saying anyone came across unprofessional, but there was something about Morgan Andrews, maybe the fact that she's majored in journalism at USC maybe gave her that little bit of an upper hand, but came across incredibly well. Talk about what she's going to bring to the Boston Breakers.
You know, there's a dual dynamic here. Obviously, you have the fact that she's a local kid. She grew up in New Hampshire, which is right across the state borderline, Massachusetts, so it's not too far away from where she'll be playing her home matches. So you have that aspect, but you know she's got one of the best heads in that's graduating from the college game right now. She knows when to slow the game down. She knows when to pick it up. She can pick out that 50-yard diagonal ball when you need her. She can slip in, her forwards, as we saw in the College Cup, setting up Katie Johnson on a couple of occasions. You know, these are things that Matt Beard will love having, those players that can step right in, challenge for minutes, especially with the new team, as you've talked to Matt on multiple occasions, Kieran. He wanted to make changes. He wants to bring a new mentality because he's not satisfied with where he is.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No pressure on Morgan Andrews, but when I did speak to him after the draft yesterday, he said he saw some similarities to one Farrah Williams, who's obviously gone on to be England's record cap holder. So certainly very held her in very high regard. Well, we can hear from Rose and we can hear from Morgan. As I said, JJ spoke to Rose. You'll hear from her first. And then I had an opportunity to speak to Morgan afterwards. So here's Rose and Morgan.
So we're here with Rose LaBelle. And Rose, number one overall pick. How does that feel?
It's a little surreal. I honestly didn't think it was going to happen until it actually did happen. But I'm super excited. The pool of players is obviously very talented, so it's just an honor.
You've been a player that's been highly touted over your collegiate career. Now you have an opportunity to showcase it at the professional level. This is a league that's now been around for a few years and one that's been around since you started college. What does that mean for you, knowing that not only you have a chance to showcase yourself in a high level, but it's a level that's going to be there for 5-10 years to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think the growth in women's soccer has been huge, and I think it'll continue to grow, and it's been so awesome these past couple years to be able to watch the NWSL games and be able to learn from them. And I'm super excited to be able to have a chance to play them myself and hopefully inspire younger girls like it did for me.
An opportunity to play in Boston. How much have you had a chance to watch their team over the past couple of years, and now obviously with Matt Beard in his second year?
Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of NWSL games, actually, and talking with Matt, I'm really confident he's going to take this team in the right direction, and I think there'll be some special things ahead for Boston this year.
Now, for our readers at Our Game Magazine know, Rose LaBelle has done a piece for us in the past. Wilma is a big, big part of not only your family, but the entire soccer community family.
That is so flattering.
But it's true, and we want to know, if you can channel her back in the Cincinnati area, what would she be thinking about now, knowing she's going to be going to Boston?
Probably be thinking about food.
Okay.
What food is available for her. That's all she really thinks about. Where she's going to sleep. And those are probably it.
Well, there's a lot of good seafood in Boston, so you never know.
Yeah, she's up for anything, honestly. She'll eat anything.
Well, congratulations. Thank you.
Talk to me about the fact that you've joined Boston. Third overall pick, you said, I think Rose LaBelle said, it doesn't feel real until it actually happens. Is that really the case?
It's absolutely true. And it's an absolute honor to be going to Boston. Like I've said before, I'm a New England girl through and through. So I'm going back home, which is really exciting. And the crowd is great. And hopefully this will, you know, bring out more people to come watch the games. And, you know, that's kind of a shout out. We want more people to come out to the games. We want more people to be a fan of soccer in New England, and I think this is the first step in doing so.
The squad's going to have a very, very different look to how it was last year. Obviously, they struggled last year, but Matt's overhauled the squad already. He's obviously got a number of picks today. How exciting is it to go into an organization that is going to look very, very different to last year?
It's really exciting, and you know, the fact that I'm going in with people I already know, Rose LaBelle, Midge Purse, you know, it's just so exciting, and there's some great talent on its way. I'll have to show them around the town a little bit, but after that, you know, we're going to get to work and we're going to have some fun.
How important is that? I mean, it's a huge country. Chris and I would never be able to appreciate how difficult it must be to play and to live in a different part of the country where you're so far away from home to be able to go back to New England. How big is that in terms of this move?
Yeah, this is big. I haven't been home in 4 years. So this is an exciting time for me. And, you know, at the same time, it's a chance to get better and it's a chance to improve and it's a chance to make an impact. I plan on doing so.
I spoke to Ashley Plumtra a few weeks ago, teammate from USC.
She's my away roommate whenever we would go on trips.
So yeah. I spoke to her after you obviously won the College Cup, and she said that it was such a huge feeling for you guys to overcome that and to come out triumphant. How keen are you to bring that winning mentality to Boston? Because obviously, as I said, they have struggled, but you're coming off of a big win. You can now take that into the organization.
Hey, it's a new year, and we're excited to make an impact, all of us players who have been chosen today, and there's still some more to come. But, you know, it's one of those things where I know the feeling of what it's like to win a national championship, and I want that again.
And talk to me about working with Matt, obviously a fellow Brit to Chris and myself. Different style of football, perhaps, that you can learn from him, a bit more European, maybe.
I'm excited. I've been told that we're going to play some pretty soccer, and there's nothing more exciting than to hear that coming from the coach. So I'm excited to work with Matt and the rest of the staff.
So, JJ, before we move on to other clubs, we might as well stick with the Boston Breakers. As we mentioned, they had four round picks. At number 8, they went with Ifeoma Onamonu out of California. And at number 9, they went with Midge Purse out of Harvard. Now, I think Onamonu is more of an attack-minded player. Matt Beard said that it was a player that they kind of missed last year. Not really a comparison, but said it was a kind of an Asisat Oshoala-type player who can maybe create something out of nothing and maybe is a little bit more direct. Midge Purse, more of a midfield player, will add some competition in the middle of the park. Give us an assessment of those two picks.
Yeah, you know, both are attacking mindsets. Obviously, Purse played more up top when she was at Harvard, but I think I do see her as more of a wide player or someone that can, you know, sit in just underneath the forwards. Onamonu, I will be very honest, as someone who lives on the East Coast, we don't get a lot of exposure to the teams out west outside of a USC, outside of a UCLA. But Onamonu is another player that can add, as you said, sort of an Oshoala-type standard where she can get a little bit physical out wide, but has great pace in addition to that. And obviously, that's two big keys if you want to have success in the NWSL. It's a very fast league, but it's also one that you can't be afraid of getting into 50-50 with, because if you do, then you're going to be beat 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with those four first-round picks, all eyes will be on Boston in the coming season. They've obviously overhauled the squad. That's been quite well documented. We'll talk a little bit more about them a little bit later on. There's one or two picks that I wanted to talk about that they had later on in the draft. But we should move on. And we'll talk about North Carolina. Obviously, it was only a few days before the draft that it was confirmed that the Western New York Flash were going to be relocating to North Carolina. There was a big press conference. They were confirmed now as a North Carolina Courage. Weren't too sure who was going to be there in Los Angeles. Weren't even sure if Paul Riley was going to be there, because his future is still not confirmed, although we did get a chance to speak to him afterwards, and I know he's pretty confident that will hopefully be all ironed out. But they had the number 2 pick, and they picked a player that people who follow the U.S. Women's National Team youth sides will be familiar with, Ashley Hatch. Now, a forward player, very highly regarded to go at number 2. There's not a lot of difference in terms of the first few picks quite often. Talk about her, because she has a very, very bright future, doesn't she?
I mean, her career just took a massive skyrocket turn in the past 5 months or so. For her first 3 years, a very good forward. Yeah, but she wasn't in that upper tier. I know people in sports use that phrase a lot, the upper tier of trying to get, you know, players into that category that can change a game. Ashley Hatch nearly won the College Golden Boot, which you have to think about that in perspective. Obviously, you always hear the big name schools, but there's nearly 350 Division I programs in women's soccer, so you have to be all those players on all those teams to win the Golden Boot, and she nearly did that for BYU, and also got a call into the senior national team right before the end of the college season as well. So this is a player that's really confident right now, and when you talk about any team that's either coached by or associated by Paul Riley, you're going to get the three words: attack, attack, attack. And obviously they got one with Ashley Hatch.
And he was quite open about that afterwards. He said, I am an attack-minded coach. I like to play forward-thinking, and I'm sure Ashley Hatch will fit in well there. We'll hear from Ashley in a second. We managed to speak to her in the media scrum after she was selected. But before we do, North Carolina had another first-round pick as well, and they selected Darian Jenkins out of UCLA. Now, I know you said that being East Coast-based, you don't necessarily get to see a huge amount of West Coast soccer, but if you can, try and talk a little bit about Darian Jenkins.
Well, the one thing to know about Darian Jenkins, first off, is she's coming off of a fairly severe injury. She was in a walking boot at the draft just yesterday, so she, I believe, broke her leg in October for UCLA. She's a player that has played significant youth international football, so I have seen a little bit more out of her, and she fits into that Charlie Nemo, Paul Riley-esque team of, you know, very athletic, very gifted in terms of their awareness on the field, also with pace. So she's going to be one of those players. It's questioning to see what type of form she's going to come back into after this injury and once she's fully healed. This might be a project similarly to what we saw with Summer Green. You take her, you allow her to get fully healthy, and then, you know, unfortunately for Seattle, they ended up trading her to Chicago, but still, you give her a full year to get healthy and then bring her in next year. I'm not sure that's going to be the same case with Darian, but it's a definite possibility. If she does come back, then she's going to be competing for a starting job, no doubt about it.
I guess to a lesser extent, Houston Dash did that last year with Kari Rakara, didn't they? She was injured going into that draft. I think it was a few months after the season started that she came in, or actually, I think she might have come in ahead of schedule, but I heard whispers that if Darian Jenkins hadn't had those injuries, she might have even gone higher than where she was selected.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, picked seventh in this draft, there's no shame in that. That's a pretty good pick in its own right. I mean, if anything, she would have probably jumped maybe a pick. Just because, you know, we'll talk about this later. We've had a couple of attacking players early, and then we've had some defenders go before Jenkins was picked. So I think that pick settles, but I see what you're saying, because she was very highly touted, especially with that UCLA team last year that had Jesse Fleming on it. And, oh, by the way, guess who's coming into that team? You have Mallory Pugh, Marley Canales, Ashley Sanchez, all players that are seeing time with all three U.S. national teams. So, yeah, a lot of big things ahead for them, but I think Darian Jenkins will be someone that's going to make an impact in this league.
Well, we'll move on with some of the other teams. We'll first hear from Ashley Hatch. As I said, we managed to have a chat with her in the media scrum after she was selected. So, obviously very excited to be going to North Carolina. So, here's Ashley.
Expansion, but a relocation team right off the bat, but you're coming into a very strong side. Tell us a little bit about how that means to you.
It's an honor to be picked by such an amazing team and, you know, amazing program, and I'm just really excited to learn a lot.
Just in terms of, was there communication from Charlie Nemo or Paul Riley, you know, thinking, okay, well, we're moving the team, but also we're looking to draft you early in the draft. Was there any communication that you went through?
I personally didn't go through any communication, so I wasn't really sure what was going to happen, so it was a nice surprise, but I do know that my coaches said they've been talking to people, but I just don't know who.
So you had a little bit of suspense coming into
yes,
today.
Yes, I did.
What was that feeling like, just in terms of, you know, thinking like, okay, this is probably going to happen, but not necessarily knowing where you're going to go next?
It was definitely a feeling I've never felt before. You know, it was new and it was exciting, and I'm just super grateful for the opportunity and glad I know where I'm going now.
Tell us a little bit about the last 4 months or so, coming into the national stage, basically winning the scoring title of the NCAA, then gets a call up to the national team and now drafted in the first round.
It was all exciting, you know, all kind of happened at once, and I'm super grateful for all the opportunities that, you know, have come my way, and just super excited to keep it going.
Okay, so a few more picks in the first round, JJ. I know that you got a chance to speak to the two Sky Blue picks, which was Kayla Mills at number 4 and Miranda Freeman at number 10. I was in the media scrum with Kayla Mills. She came across incredibly well, obviously part of that very successful USC side that won the College Cup. Give your assessment of those two picks that Sky Blue made.
I mean, they're opposite flanks. They're going to be good, pacey players. They can both shift centrally if need to in a back position or maybe push up higher. It seems that it's become almost the common theme in women's soccer across the board that teams are playing that three center back system with a couple of wing backs, and then you go forward into the midfield and forwards. I think that would suit very well for those two players. I don't think that's the style that Christy Holly intends to play, but that team needed some cover defensively. They were very thin at times last year. I think they had to call in a couple of either amateur players, or they had to make mid-season signings just to fill gaps because they didn't have enough in the back line. So hopefully, you know, for these two players, again, both winners, as we talked about with the USC, they're going to be players that are going to be coming in competing for not only just minutes, but they're going to be competing for two starting jobs in March. They're going to be somebody, they're players that are going to really make a change to that team as that team really still continues to find its identity.
Yeah, I know, speaking to people in the convention center, they thought they were two very, very good picks by Sky Blue, and I know that people felt overall Sky Blue had definitely one of the better days in terms of who they drafted. You managed to actually speak to the two of them, didn't you, on the day? I think that they were actually roommates in USC as well, so it's going to be nice for them moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, going to be have a familiar face right next to them, so that's obviously very nice for them. So yeah, you got a chance to speak to them. So here's Caleb Mills and Miranda Freeman.
Caleb Mills and Mandy Freeman here with me from Sky Blue FC, two first round draft pick. And guys, tell us a little bit about this experience as a whole. You've obviously, being here in your pseudo hometown, a little bit of Los Angeles national champions just a short while ago, and now both first round picks.
It's an amazing opportunity, like, to be able to have like the NWSL host this and invite all the players here to continue doing, you know, what we all love to do best, to play, and then to be here with my best friend and everyone to get, you know, selected. That's awesome.
It is an amazing feeling. Like, this year it has just been, it's been a whirlwind, honestly. It just seems like the blessings haven't stopped, and that it's awesome, honestly. Just, and to be with somebody that, like, I know so well and that I love, it's awesome.
And it was told to me earlier on that six of the first 10 picks came from the Pac-12. Speak a little bit about how competitive, as you saw this year especially, because there are a lot of teams jumping up and making everybody push a little bit more to get to that next level.
That's true. Well, the Pac-12 is definitely competitive, and I think that sometimes it might be overlooked just because, you know, people, I don't know, I feel like sometimes it's overlooked, but I think that in the Pac-12 we compete, and that's ultimately what makes it, you know, a great experience for everybody, because when you're competing at a high level, you can perform at a high level, and then everybody just comes out better from it, honestly.
Yeah, I think when everyone, you know, is performing well, and we both have, you know, great teams in the Pac-12, I think then everyone's talent can show through, which, you know, is highlighted in events like this.
And now, kind of wrapping things up, now going to Jersey. You're going to have the pseudo Jersey Girl acronym being thrown on you guys a little bit as well. But tell us a little bit about what you know about Sky Blue, and what are you going to be looking forward to? Obviously, prior to, you had a chance to speak with a couple of your future teammates. Mm-hmm. What are they telling you? What are you guys going to be ready for when you come into camp in a few weeks?
Yeah, I think the main thing that they're stressing is that, you know, they're here to support us and help us with the transition to going from, you know, college to professional soccer. And just knowing that we always have people that we can talk to, especially with our teammates, because they've been through this process, and just knowing that we kind of have people to lean on through this whole transition.
I definitely would say, you know, just talking to them, just, I think it's going to be a different experience. I've grown up here. I've stayed here. Mandy's across the coast. She's from Florida, so she came from Southern California. It's different, so she's, like, been away from home. I've never really been away from home, so it's just going to be, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited. It's going to be different, and I can't wait.
So just a couple more selections to go through in that first round. We're going to have to move around a little bit. We've covered 1-4. Number 5, Christina Gibbons from Duke University, was selected by FC Kansas City. Now, people may not have heard of Christina Gibbons before the last few weeks, and the reason they might have heard about her in the last few weeks is that she's been called up into Jill Ellis's US Women's National Team camp. Very highly rated. Another top player picked high up in the draft. Talk about Christina Gibbons.
Vlatko Ananovsky, the head coach of FC KC, used this phrase with me yesterday. She is the best problem solver out of any players coming into this draft, any rising or graduating seniors. So she's an outside back, an outside midfielder if needed to, but is gifted technically, plays with both sides of the feet, can pick apart passes, she can run down the flank, she can even create chances for her own self, cutting inside. Duke, not this past season, but the year prior, they got all the way to the national championship game. So she knows what it takes to get to the level. She was a player that was really underrated coming into college. She wasn't a top 10 prospect. She wasn't even top 15. She was on a very good club team out of Castle in North Carolina, but she made every player, and this is according to Robbie Church, who's the head coach I had a chance to speak with a few months back, she made every player around her better because he saw games with her club in high school when she was on the field and when she wasn't on the field. And he said that that team's level dropped about three pegs when she was not on the field. So this is a player that's going to come in to FC Casey. I know obviously it seems a little redundant that we're saying they're going to come in and make an impact. They're going to come in and make an impact. This player will come in and will be a starter this March. There is little doubt about that.
Well, we'll hear from her in a second. She came across incredibly well in the media scrum. I think someone threw a question at her as to why she decided to enter the draft and not maybe pursue opportunities elsewhere. Maybe in Europe, we've obviously seen Khadisha Buchanan and Ashley Lawrence, who would have been first round picks this year had they entered the draft. They've decided to go off and play in France. And she was very open. She said, look, I explored all the opportunities and there was nowhere else I wanted to be. I wanted to come into the NWSL. It was really important for me to come into the NWSL. And she came across incredibly well. And actually, people can hear from her. So here's Christina Gibbons, who is now, of course, of FC Kansas City.
City coming in and taking you in the first round overall. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and how much had you had the chance to talk with Vladka?
I talked to him a little bit. Truthfully, I didn't really know where I was going to end up. So, I had an idea. We spoke on the phone last night, and he said that he was interested in, would I like to go to Kansas City and play there. And obviously, I expressed interest. And so, just super thrilled to hear my name called as the fifth pick, and extremely excited to start my journey.
And they play a nice possession game as well. Your time at Duke helped that a little bit. How is that going to keep going forward for you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, obviously at Duke, that's what we like to play, and that's what we tried to play. And so I think it'll be a really good fit and hopefully a seamless transition, trying to go from possession to possession, and I hope to make an impact.
Kansas City's been very good for the time they've been in the League Two championships as a college player. Do they already have a reputation as a team that a player in your position would like to play for?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, first and foremost, they're well coached. Second, you hear that the team environment is a really good one, and obviously any team that's been that successful is a team you want to play for. So,
how about just the league in general? It started basically when you went into college, mm-hmm. but no prior league had lasted that long. How has your perception of the league changed since you started at Duke to now?
Yeah, I think, as a freshman in college, you're not sure where your career is going to go and what's going to happen. And, there's always the dream of playing afterwards. And I'm very thankful that the league is sustained, through 5 years. So I have an opportunity to play because, that's the dream and that's what everyone wants to do after college. So I'm extremely excited.
One of your teammates, I believe, from your freshman year, opted to go to Iceland instead of NWSL. Mm-hmm. We've seen a couple of players go elsewhere this year. Was that ever a consideration, or if not, what led you to stick here in NWSL?
I think for me, I always really wanted to stay here. I toyed with the idea of going abroad and spoke to some people, but I think that after talking to people and learning more about the process and how everything works, I decided that the United States and the league is such a good one with so many talented players that the best way to grow and develop as a player is to stay here, at least for me. And so I feel that I'll be able to do that at Kansas City.
Your hometown area has been in the news a lot when it comes to NWSL. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the scene there in the Triangle area when it comes to women's soccer?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, I'm really excited for the community, the soccer community in North Carolina. You have great colleges there. I played club at Castle in North Carolina, and so, I'm just thrilled for the whole community that they have a soccer team to rally around now. I remember going as a kid to Carolina Courage games. I was a ball girl for many years for them, so it's sort of crazy how it all comes full circle. But, I'm really excited that North Carolina has the opportunity to host someone. It's such an awesome stadium and facilities in Wake Med, so it should be a good situation, and I'm really excited for that team.
If I remember correctly, you said at the College Cup last year that was your first time playing on the main field there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might have the chance to play on that field as a professional soccer player. What thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't even know if I could put that into words. Obviously, it's been a childhood dream of mine, and growing up in the area, I live probably about 5 minutes from there, my actual house, so where my parents live. So it would be a very sweet homecoming and something that I probably wouldn't be able to express until years down the line with a lot of reflection, but it's something I very much look forward to.
So the only club that had another pick in the first round, JJ, was the Seattle Reign. They've decided to bolster the back line. They went for Maddie Bauer. Now, I know that she was a player that Laura Harvey really wanted. Managed to speak to Laura very quickly after the draft had been completed. And she said, I got the players that I wanted. Now, we're going to talk about another one of their players shortly. But talk about Maddie Bauer, because she's going to have a lot of experience to learn from, isn't she? Joining a back line that contains Rachel Causey, Scottish international, Kendall Fletcher, well-seasoned veteran defender now, I guess we'd call her. Lauren Barnes, who has been in and out of the US Women's National Team camps as well. Talk about an education. She's going to get one in Seattle.
Well, I mean, already a highly educated Stanford graduate in her own right, so a very intelligent player. Kind of one of those hard-nosed defenders. Not to say no nonsense, because she's got very good technical abilities in her own right, but she's one of those players that she's not going to stand among the crowd, and she's not going to be one of those players that will, you know, wow someone. Obviously, we've seen Lauren Barnes with Seattle pull off some very nice pieces of skill in the back. Now, I'm not going to say that Maddie Bauer won't be able to do that, but she's one of those players that consistently puts in solid shifts. Game after game, you know what you're going to get out of her. And I think, you know, now an opportunity, and I asked this in the media scrum, similar to what you said, with, you know, going to be learning alongside of a couple, or playing with a couple of brilliant center halves in Causey and Fletcher. She is going to elevate her game. You know, this is a player who was in the U-17s, was in the U-20s for the U.S., U-23s now. She needs a little more to her game, maybe just to fine-tune a few things as opposed to add to some parts of her game, but she's going to be someone that I think, give her a full year to learn, she's going to do herself very well.
And she came across very well. Once again, we managed to speak to her in the media scrum, so we'll hear from Maddie, and that will actually complete our look back at the first round. And rather than going round by round, because we'd be here all day, we're going to pick out a few players that maybe caught our eye in some of the later rounds. So here's Maddie, and when we come back, we'll have a chat about round two.
Kind of been waiting for this day for a while now. Didn't really think about it during my senior season because I wanted to be focused, but when our season ended, I was kind of just waiting for this day, and it's finally here. So it's kind of crazy that it's happening, and it's crazy that I was drafted to Seattle. I'm really, really happy about it, and I'm really excited.
Seattle had kind of an up-and-down year last year, and there's been a lot of changes with retirements and Megan Rapinoe coming back from injury. Yeah. How do you feel about how the team looks this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to playing at the next level, and I'm going to contribute in any way that I can and just give my 110%. I'm really looking forward to being coached by Laura Harvey. I just think she's incredible, so I'm excited to play that style of soccer, and I respect the way they play, so I'm just looking to contribute as much as I can and hopefully have a successful 2017.
Was it about Seattle, Maddie, that you said you're particularly excited about going to Seattle?
Yeah.
What is it about the rain?
I don't know. I just think, I've been to the Pacific Northwest. I've been to a couple MLS games up there. I just think the culture is incredible, an electric atmosphere. And I think the fans and the environment, they really appreciate soccer, and they appreciate the players and the effort they put into. And I'm looking forward to that kind of support. Also, I'm from the West Coast, so, you know, it's always nice to kind of stay over here. But I've always looked up to, you know, the teams up there and their style and, you know, their total environment. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Between the rain and the storm, do you feel like Seattle is sort of having a women's sports moment in terms of talent they're collecting and in terms of audience as well?
I like to think so, yeah. I think that they're definitely, you know, pioneers, and that hopefully what they're doing can spread across everywhere so we get the same result for all teams. But I'm just excited to play in that arena and get to experience all of that. So.
You're going to a team that plays a nice possession brand of soccer, especially out of the back. So
yeah, definitely.
Have you had a chance to talk with Laura a little bit about things that she sees you could be playing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, coming from Stanford, I think we really pride ourselves on possession, playing out of the back. You know, that's kind of one of my strengths, I think. So looking towards that, I'm excited to continue that and grow in that style, because I believe it's, you know, how soccer is meant to be played, and I think it's such a beautiful sport that, you know, you want to keep the ball That's how you break teams down. So I hope that I can bring what I've learned in college, but also learn more from Laura in how to, you know, raise my game to play even better possession style.
And a quick follow-up. So you're going to be playing alongside a couple of veteran professionals in the back, Rachel Corsi, Daniel Fletcher. Have you had a chance to ever watch their games and kind of pick apart a little bit?
Yeah, a couple of them. I have. I just think I respect them, the veterans, so much, and I hope I can learn as much as I can from them because they've been through this, and I'm totally new to the NWSL, so I'm looking forward to kind of learning from them day in and day out.
How much do you look at the coach, not just the organization, Maddie, in terms of
you're
going to be coached by a British head coach?
Well, so my coach at Stanford is
European,
British.
Yeah,
so I'm... I mean, the coach is important to me because she puts her trust in me. She obviously drafted me. But I really respect, you know, the way she sees the game. And I think British people tend to do that, maybe, in a way, from being in England. And I've been coached by a lot of English coaches, so nothing crazy new for me, but just another chapter that I'm excited for.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So that was Maddie Bauer. JJ, let's, rather than, as we said before, we're not going to go through player by player like we have done in the first round, because there's 40 players that were selected yesterday. It would take us forever, and people, I'm sure, have got better things to do than to listen to us to drone on for hours. But we're going to pick out some players that maybe caught our eye. I think in round two, certainly at number 15, Jane Campbell, who is again a member of the US Women's National Team youth setup. She's been called up recently into Jill Ellis's camp as well. Drafted by the Houston Dash. Now, this was the Dash's first pick of the draft, and I thought it was an interesting one because they have Lydia Williams, they have Bianca Henninger. I know that she has a very good reputation, Jane Campbell. I just wonder what the thinking is in drafting a keeper when they have two very good ones already. But I don't know. Maybe there's an assumption that maybe one of those, maybe Bianca Henninger, might move on. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the questions what everyone in the media was asking yesterday. It's with the unfortunate, and I say that with a very heavy word, unfortunate ruling that the NWSL has, with teams only allowed 20 contracted players as a maximum, you hardly ever see teams carry more than two goalkeepers. So with that pick being made, one has to think that Randy Waldrum knows that there's going to be a piece or two moving in the next couple months in that goalkeeping position. But in terms of Campbell, you know, she's fundamentally sound. She's a great distributor. She's very clean with her hands. Obviously worked with the back line in Stanford that knows how to win matches. So she, as we've said before, there are many players in the early rounds that come from winning teams that will help their respective NWSL clubs. It's just very curious to see where she's going to end up in terms of, does she play? If so, how much does she play? Or does her ability in her own right give her a starting job?
Yeah, interesting one to see. Interesting one to monitor, certainly, for sure. Now, the player that you wanted to pick out from in round two was Katie Johnson, another College Cup winner from USC. Now, Laura Harvey was quite open in her assessment of Katie Johnson after the draft had been completed. She said that she'd been monitoring Katie for quite some time and felt that it was possibly a player that was going under the radar, and then she entered the College Cup and she ripped it up, and all of a sudden she was on everyone's radar. Now, Laura was quite open in saying that in previous years she hasn't done a lot of trading in the draft. She hasn't moved around her picks that much. She's kind of stuck with what she's had. She moved up the draft. She did a trade with the Chicago Red Stars where she's given up a first-round pick in 2018 to get the Chicago Red Stars' number 16 pick in round two so that she could go and get Katie Johnson, or KJO, as I know a lot of her teammates call her. That shows how much Laura Harvey rates her, but shows how much of an impact she could potentially have in Seattle.
That's absolutely right. I mean, look, for those who don't know much about Katie Johnson, she was one of, we'll say, many U.S. players, U.S.-born players who were bypassed by the Federation in terms of team selection. So, has Mexican heritage, is cap-tied by Mexico, she appeared in Olympic qualifiers, so that she is now a full-time Mexican national team player. But yeah, it was that kind of almost coming-out party. Obviously a very good college striker, but She scored 3 goals in 2 matches at the College Cup, obviously winners in both of those matches as well. So she's your typical number 11, your target striker. She's a very tall athlete to begin with, knows how to position herself well. In the semifinal win, she took a ball chipped in over the top from Morgan Andrews, spun on a dime, only needed really about a quarter yard of space to get a shot off and absolutely ripped one home. So, you know, just by that moment in your own right, you see that, okay, so she's definitely got some potential. And as you and I both know, Kieran, Seattle, unlike many teams, they actually have some room to make, you know, or bring players in, whether it be via this draft or by bringing in signings elsewhere. And I think this is a player that can come in from day one and either be that first off the bench to give a little bit of impact, or depending on the opponent, she could be playing as that target striker and cause a little bit of havoc.
No, it'd be good to see how she fits in. Obviously, Seattle are known for their attacking play. We know that they have players like Bev Yanez who plays through the middle, but Katie Johnson is certainly going to get a good education out there, much like teammate Maddie Bauer is going to get in the defence. So if we move on to round 3, picked at number 21 was Tyler Lucy. She went to the Portland Thorns out of Princeton. I know that she was a player that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people need to start understanding that the Ivy League is not just an athletics conference that is only through education. You're going to have the quote-unquote nerds that are coming through. There are a lot of brilliant players that come through this conference. Obviously, we had Midge Purse drafted in the first round. She played at Harvard. Tyler Lucy basically smashed every attacking record at that program. And, oh, by the way, that's a program that Diana Matheson graduated from back in the 2000s. Jen Hoy with Chicago graduated from that program. She was the one that set all these attacking bars. And now Tyler Lucy comes in, and she is just one of those feisty players. She's very bubbly off the field. I had a chance to chat with her after the draft, and she's, you know, I had a chance to call a couple of her games in her collegiate career. It's almost a complete 180 with her on and off the field. She's business, fierce, won't give an inch on the field, but off the inch, smiling all the way, you know, taking in the entire experience yesterday during the draft. And, you know, I think that's a player that, with Portland, you know, there's a couple of question marks. As you very well know, the Euros are coming up this year. They're going to be losing a few key players for that competition, especially up front, with Nadia and Nadim potentially going back to Denmark. So you're going to need a little bit of fill. This is where I think Tyler Lucy could fit that bill.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think she'll certainly have a role to play. The thing is, with college players, I think the thing that people have to be aware of, there's never any guarantees in terms of a player being drafted and then seeing them in the first team squad. It doesn't always happen, but I think with Tyler Lucy, we'll certainly see her representing the Thorns at some stage during the course of the season. Looking at the third round, mate, there was a lot of talk about the fact that Kadisha Buchanan and Ashley Lawrence didn't enter the draft, but there were other Canadians that did, and one of those was Kaylin Sheridan, who came out of Clemson and went to Sky Blue FC. And I know that there were people talking about her in the room, wondering when she was going to go. I don't think there was ever any doubt that she was going to be selected, but I think it was a case of where she was going to be selected. And now she's gone to a club where they already have, we've already mentioned the fact with Jane Campbell going into a team that had two pretty well-established goalkeepers. Sky Blue had Caroline Casey and Caroline Stanley last year. It's going to be a challenge for Kaylin to go in there, but from speaking to some of the other journos and some of the experts, there's a lot of people that feel that she'll go in there as number one.
Yeah, you know, talked with Christy Holly yesterday, and he said that there's a lot of places on that field for his team that he wasn't satisfied by how they operated last year. Obviously, they punched well above their weight. They challenged for a playoff position right until the last couple of weeks of the season. Goalkeeping was an issue. You know, the two Carolines, they filled the void, but they're not necessarily players that I'm going to pen mark in as a true number one goalkeeper. They're penciled right now. So I think you bring in a player like Sheridan, who is, you know, really one player away from being in that Rio squad for Canada. She was the reserve goalkeeper, not on the roster, but traveled with the team. But she's a great shot stopper. Little intrigued why she wasn't allocated by Canada to begin with. Maybe that could still change. One never knows. But I think Sky Blue did very well with the selection.
Yeah, very highly thought of when speaking to other people around the room. So it'll be interesting to see how she settles in New Jersey. JJ, I think rather than picking out players from the fourth round, because I know that we had a couple, but I'm looking at the clubs that they represent, and we've already covered them in quite a lot of detail. There's a few clubs that we haven't mentioned. It might be worth just giving a bit of a summary as to how we feel they did in terms of their draft day. Washington Spirit, a lot of eyes on them. Obviously, a lot of movement in terms of players out. A few questioning how competitive they'll be able to be in 2017. How did you feel their draft day went as a whole?
Okay. I think that's really kind of the best way I can describe a look. You know, whatever is going on behind closed doors in Washington is something that maybe could unfold publicly, may never will, but there's been a mass exodus at that club, and I don't think this draft is going to really tell what this club is going to look like. The players that they got from the draft would be Lindsay Agnew from Ohio State in the second round. They didn't have a first-round pick. They got Maggie Doherty Howard from Florida, who has played in their reserve team in previous years, so she's very well accustomed to the system and a very good technical player. I think of the three that they got, that was probably their best pick. And then they got Cameron Castleberry, who can is kind of one of those do-it-all type players from North Carolina, who's and a very athletic player. But I think that's about the best way I could describe them.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I think it's a fair assessment. Chicago Red Stars, Rory Dames is usually a bit of an expert when it comes to the draft. We saw him last year pick quite low down. He kind of stacked up the fourth round. And we've seen so many players come through the Chicago Red Stars and who've been picked out of the draft. And I think he, more than most, works it almost better than anyone. Didn't have any first-round picks on this occasion. Traded up to get the number 11 pick from the Boston Breakers. How do you assess Chicago Red Stars Day?
You know, it's interesting with the Red Stars because this is one of those teams, as you said, Rory Dames works the draft. He is a player. He is a coach that will base his team around the draft, and he will build pieces and gain pieces in the process. He has an interesting dilemma because he already has 20 contracted players. He returned 19 from last season, and Amanda DaCosta was traded to Boston. In comes in Summer Green off of a year of injury. If any one of these players wants to get into this first team, they're going to have to knock off one of the contracted players, which is a very tall task because, let's face it, Chicago's made the playoffs in the last couple of seasons. This is a very good unit that they have. Now, in addition to that, you talked about Kieran last year with Chicago packing the end of the draft last year. They had nearly, I think, five picks in the fourth round. A few of those players, what my understanding is, they're going to be ready to be coming into preseason with Chicago. And Rory, it seems like he has a full preseason roster that he knows, okay, this is exactly what my team is going to look like. He's going to have to hope, and similarly to a few other teams in the NWSL as well, to convince players to stay on as amateurs, play in the reserve team, learn the system, and then maybe down the road, whether by injury, whether by a player's form just goes to pieces, or trade comes about that perhaps maybe then they would be able to step into the roster.
Yeah, no, completely fair. And an interesting point you used to make there about the 20 contracted players. It's going to be a big task for the players selected yesterday to try and break their way in. I think the only club that's left for us to discuss is the Orlando Pride. Now, it's fair to say that last year they went all in when the club launched. They went all in to try and get in the likes of Alex Morgan and Kaylin Kyle and Sarah Hagen and the other players that came in last year. And as a result of that, they weren't left with a lot in terms of the draft this year. I think they had two picks over the whole day. I think it's going to be a difficult year for Orlando this year, but try and sum up some positives out of the draft for them yesterday.
Now, see, surprising, you kind of seem a little like down on what they did. I think they actually did very well yesterday with their two picks. They picked third round and fourth round, the second pick in each round. They got Danica Evans from Colorado and Nicolette Dries from Penn State. Both are attack-minded players that can play either in the midfield or as a forward. Very pacey, very physical. And Dries has the rare honor of winning two national championships in her collegiate career for two different teams. She played for Florida State, transferred to Penn State, and then the year after won for Penn State. So she's a player that knows how to win, and she's a little feisty player. She doesn't mind getting into those 50-50s and winning out a few challenges. So I think they actually did quietly very well yesterday.
Interesting. Interesting. I wasn't trying to be down on them, but I just thought, looking at the number of picks that they had, only two picks and coming down later in the draft, maybe. But sometimes we do see that, don't we? We do see players selected later on in the draft who can be a real gem. They can be like that rough diamond that people aren't expecting to do anything, and all of a sudden they come to the forefront. It's not necessarily always the early picks that catch the eye, but I think that's pretty much it, mate. I think we've covered quite a lot there. I mean, if you had to sum up, if you had to say who you felt which team had the best day yesterday, who would you go with?
I think FC Kansas City probably yet again won the draft. I don't know how Vlatko Andonovski does it. He kind of joked with me yesterday after the draft by saying, how does the dice just keep rolling in your favor? He just said, maybe I'm just lucky. I mean, you look at the five players that he drafted. He had three first-team All-Americans this year, one second-team All-American who came in the fourth round, and he also got in Toni Payne, who wasn't an All-American this year, but she's a former U.S. Youth International, very highly rated. He just picked up five outstanding players who I could see, depending on what, you know, other variables come in, and when I say variables, I mean Amy Rodriguez, Sydney LaRue, because we don't really know what's happening. You know, how ready are they to come back? Obviously, we know Amy is out with the U.S. national team camp right now, but all five of those players could be in the starting 11 on opening day, which is very scary, but they're all gifted and talented enough to do so.
Very scary, but also shows the quality that's come out of this draft class. We've been saying all along that this was a very, very deep class. People were really looking forward to it. And I think it didn't disappoint. I think we saw some incredible players coming out, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them in this year's NWSL. Of course, it kicks off in April. JJ, I think we'll wrap it up there, mate. I think we've covered a lot. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. JJ, it's always a pleasure. I think we usually have to edit this show so much when we record it over Skype, largely due to the fact that I'm either coughing or stumbling or mumbling because I'm not a broadcaster. This one's flowed all right.
Well, that's what happens when you do this face-to-face. It just makes life a whole lot easier. And obviously, these are things that we're passionate about. And, of course, obviously, that's not to say that we're not passionate about everything we do. We do this because we're passionate about this sport. So, you know, hopefully what you all are hearing today is kind of on this recording is something that, you know, we enjoy events like these. For, you know, we don't really make much off doing things like this, but we come here because we love this stuff. And this is, I think, you know, bringing all this, you said, you know, with the media, a lot of us are Eastern Coast based. I think just about every major media person who covers women's soccer made the trek over to LA. So that just shows how much that we care about this game, that we'll be willing to sacrifice a little bit to get over here. And, you know, hopefully you all enjoyed this one, because I certainly did.
Likewise. Lots of names to look out for in 2017. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Of course, you can contact us if you wish to on Twitter or on @WosoZone. Email us any feedback that you have, good or bad. We're always happy to hear from you on WosoZone@gmail.com. And of course, there's two ways to listen to the show: on Audioboom, audioboom.com/channel/WosoZone, and on iTunes. We will be back in the next week or two. Until then, take care of yourselves and bye-bye.